Okay, thank you. Bless you, guys and ladies. Thank you for your faithful, generous participation in the offering this morning. It's good to see you here, and thank you for making the time. I just felt on my heart to share this with you. The fact that you have made it here this morning, you got up, decided to come to church this morning, half the battle is already won, and I trust that God's going to meet you at your point of need, and He's going to minister life into the situation, whatever your challenges is. For die van julle wat die eerste keer besoek aflê, can I just see a show of hands, visiting here for the first time. Welcome. Good to have you guys here. That song we've been singing is We Need a Mover. We know the mover's coming. The process has started. The registration's already been handed in at the deeds office, so it's not too long when we will need to ontruim hierdie plek and go into the new premises that God has blessed us with. So we're very, very excited about that. I just sense to say this on my heart. You know, it happens, I suppose, when first-time visitors come. But you look at people, and I just want to say this to you guys and ladies this morning, that each and every single one of you are so valuable and precious to Jesus. Dis nie net mooi woord in die haai, dis cute, Mozzie, dankie dat jy het vir my sê, but you are valuable and precious to Jesus. God loves you beyond description. So much so that He gave His life for you. Hoe durf ek dan hierso staan om met een van julle oor God te probeer gesels? How dare I try and speak to you about the God who gave His life for you? Do you get that, church? That's how important you are this morning. And then a man must come and tell you about that God. So what am I saying? I acknowledge my dependency upon the Holy Spirit this morning. You know, folks, if God doesn't move in our midst, man, ons kan net sowel enige club join. I'm not talking about a bike club. We can be Moths or Knights of the Round Table or any other charity organization. But because God comes where two or more people are there in His name, it makes our fellowship together worthwhile. So trust and believe God with me that He's going to speak into your life this morning. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, to your left and to right, behind you, in front of you, and say, God's going to speak this morning. God's going to speak this morning. Hallelujah. It's not just a ou met a microphone. God's going to speak. We've been speaking about, believe it or not, the last two months, we've been speaking about the hearts of the fathers. And it's been a long time since I felt such an urgency in my spirit to reiterate it over and over and remind ourselves, the hearts of the fathers, the hearts of the fathers. So it's taken us 8 weeks. This is the 9th sermon on the hearts of the fathers. And I'm going to do my best to summarize, and I've taken the highlights out of the messages from the past 8 weeks to re-emphasize them in our midst to get a gist of what God is saying in our midst. This is a summary of that. And we started off by saying that we asked ourselves the question, why did Jesus come to earth? Het hy hierna toe gekom om godsdienst te begin? To start religion? No, Jesus hated religion. Do you get that, church? He hated religion. When He got here, religion was already here. What do we mean by religion? Reels wat sê, jy mag nie, jy kan nie, jy sal nie, jy moet so aantrek, jy moet hierdie dag aanbid, you got to say it like this, you got to read. Dis 'n klomp tjol daai julle. What Jesus came is to give us relationship with the Father. Jesus came to show us the heart of God. That's His whole program. His whole program was to turn the hearts of the children to the Father, because He turned His heart as a father to the children. He decided to leave heaven's best, send heaven's best, come and let Jesus die in our place. And what's important is that you take up church membership somewhere. Please know, if you want to get Christians to disappear, let net lidmaatskap opneem by daai gemeente, dan sien jy hulle skaars. The story of the guy, the church that's trying to get rid of all the bats. The bats are busy besmetting die kloktoring daar. And they tried terminators, they tried poisons, they tried things to chase the bats away. En een van die ouderlinge sê, Dominee, and actually a Dominee, by the way, word. Wat ons moet doen, we got to get these bats, hulle moet aangeneem word en voorgestel word. So they decided to do that. So they do that, and after they were aangeneem en voorgestel, dan het hulle daai vleermuise nooit weer gesien. Hulle was net gone. So what's important in our work with God, ladies and gentlemen, it's not the church membership, asseblief toch. It's having a relationship with God first. And then you can live out your faith through getting involved in a body, committing yourself to people, letting people speak into your life. So hierdie het glad niks te doen met kerklidmaatskap. Really and truly. But Jesus came to show us the heart of the Father. In John 14 and verse 9, they asked him, "Show us the Father." And Jesus replied, "I've been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you?" That's what Jesus came to do, church. It's about showing us the heart of the Father. We said that fatherlessness is the biggest curse upon society. If you South African, you say, "I'm South African." You might say the biggest curse in this country is crime or corruption or the cancer, whose middle letters are ANC. You might say that ANC is the cancer. Oh, good news for you, church. It's bigger than that. The crisis that we're facing is bigger than that. Fatherlessness is the biggest curse upon society. And God wants to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. We know the Bible says that in Malachi verse 6, speaking about the preaching of John. John the Baptist will come and his preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. Why? It goes on to say in Luke 1:17, so it can make a people ready to receive Jesus. And that's what this is about. You say, "Mosi, fatherlessness, ek weet wie my pa is, ek het 'n goeie verhouding gehad met my pa, my dad's still present in my life today," but for the vast majority of people, it is not like that. Virtually every major social pathology has been linked to fatherlessness. We're repeating this. Violent crime, drug and alcohol abuse, teen pregnancy, suicide, all correlate more strongly to fatherlessness than to any other single factor. The connection with fatherlessness is so strong that it erases the relationships between race and crime and low income and crime. That's a statement made by Stephen Baskerville, and these statements have been researched and proven through statistics that this is the case. Ladies and gentlemen, fatherlessness is a crisis. It is a crisis. So, well, give us more facts, Mozzie. Well, here come the facts. If you've heard it before, you're going to hear it again. It's important, church. 63% of suicides come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists motivated by displaced anger come from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutes come from fatherless homes. 40% of children do not live with their biological father. 85% of children with behavioral problems come from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless children come from fatherless homes. 71% of children who do not finish school come from fatherless homes. My brother, my sister, as you sit here this morning, look back on your life and say, "How involved was my dad in my life?" Maybe there's folks here who fall in one of these statistics. You didn't even know your father or it's a stepfather. Well, your dad was there, but he worked away for weeks and months. Then when he came home, the dogs wanted to attack him because they didn't recognize him. That's a reality. Fatherlessness is the greatest curse on nations. And God wants to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. We said that this will ready us to receive Jesus and what God wants to do in our lives through the life and message of Jesus Christ. God wants to use, He wants to use fathers to whom He's revealed Himself to turn people's hearts to each other and to the heart of the Father. So why all of this? Why is it so urgent? in the light of everything that's happening in the world, Mozzie, surely there's more important things to be concerned about. The war in Ukraine, the fact that petrol's going to go up again, and the inflation's here, and this is here, and the crime this, and the crime that. Surely there's more important things to discuss right now? Well, if we as the Church of Jesus Christ are serious about fulfilling the Great Commission, surely the curse of fatherlessness should be our primary concern. You say, we're the Church of Jesus Christ, and we speak about Great Commission. Ons dra 'n badge wat sê ons is die hemelbestormers op ons motorfietse. Ons gaan die koninkryk van God gaan bou daar buite. If the fulfillment of the Great Commission that Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples, not converts, not church members, disciples. Make disciples and baptize them and teach them to obey everything that I taught you. Surely the issue of fatherlessness should be a priority in the church. Wat sê julle daarvan? Klink dit reg vir julle? That's why we've been speaking about it this morning, 9 Sundays in a row. So when we go with the concept of, I've got this idea that I want to share my best friend with people. I don't want to give people rules and regulations and try and win souls to come to church. How many of you know, how many times have you heard me from this pulpit say, when we do an altar call, wat sê ek vir die mense? Ons soek julle nie in hierdie kerk nie. How many of you have heard me say that? Thank you. Well, we're not interested in you joining this church. We want you to come to God. And as hy dit goed sien om hierso betrokke te raak, hallelujah, dis vir ons 'n aanwins. But it's so not about church membership. So if I have the burning desire, I want to tell people about Jesus. Say, simply ask this. So tell me, how is your relationship with your father? And when they start, you'll see. God will give you an opportunity to say, well, I want to tell you about a father who cares for you beyond your wildest dreams. So it's important for the church, if we want to fulfill the Great Commission, to address the issue of fatherlessness. One of the things we said in one of the sermons is about relationships is that married people, are you ready for this? Wie van julle is getroud vanoggend? I see a show of hands. Okay. Listen, I didn't say who of you want to be married and are glad you... Marriage is designed to kill you. Oh yeah. Marriage is designed to kill you. Why? Because the Bible says, well, the Bible says, men, you must love your wives like Jesus loved the church. How did Jesus love the church? He gave his life for the church. He didn't say, okay, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to hang on this cross and bleed to death if you believe me. If you worship me, if you live for me, if you give a little bit of bucks every now and again, if you build a building in my name, if you wear a badge that says, wara, wara, wara. No. He hung there on the cross unconditionally. Unconditionally, he laid down his life. And guys and ladies, that's how we enter into marriage. Not because of what we can get out. And yes, I know sometimes we get lacquer packages in the marriage. Ne? Lacquer is most lacquer. You warm for her form. Maar op 'n tyd daar is dit nie so nie. Dan word jy soggens wakker dan wonder jy, what is this lying next to me in the bed? That's when we realize, en ons lag lekker daaroor, nê. But why is the divorce rate inside and outside the church 87%? Mense sê vir my, Mozzie, ek wil trou. Well, we love each other. You know where I'm at with this thing recently, and if you're going to get married soon, forgive me for saying this. I'm in agreement with Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul says, don't get married, because Jesus is coming. But I won't elaborate on that. She's blay, right, we'll marry you, don't worry. But marriage is designed to kill you, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Because you daily make a decision, daily. We fall in love, or you fall out of love. No, you just make a choice to love or not to love. You don't fall. You make a decision with your mind. I am now going to love you every day of your life. And the idea is you lay down your life for the other partner. Will you get anything back or not? That is a recipe for a successful relationship. That's one of the things we looked at. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. How many of you men are sitting here and thinking, God's not answering my prayers, don't raise your hands. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Don't raise your hands, Mozzie. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Honor your wife. Well, you say, I honor my wife. Yeah, it's easy for me to, in public, give her flowers, or in public, give her chocolates or whatever. I'm married to a woman. I gave her so much flowers. She says, Mozzie, please, time out. No more flowers. Who's? Wat het ek aangejaag, ja. En ons huis had, Valentine's Day is, meh. It's a secular festival, pagan festival anyway, but it's like, okay. You know, so it's like years ago. It's like, okay, I get that you love me. Stop with the flowers. She's actually wise because she says the flowers die and then you can use the money for something else. So eintlik is hy baie slim. Sy het 'n plan met my geld. Met ons geld. You say, well, how do you honor your wife? How do you speak about your wife when you're with the boys? When they start making jokes about the old ball and chain, or the nag back at home, or the old hag, or that's the time, ladies and gentlemen, where we can honor our wives in their absence. When we're talking amongst the men, we say, you know, the woman this and the woman that, and the wife is saying, no, you know what? My wife is a blessing to me. I'm glad that she's choosing to live with me, man. Out of all the smart oaks of the earth, she chose me. She could have done way, way better. So, now, I didn't say that last time. Colette didn't say amen now. Husbands, love your wives. Love Christ. Love the church. We asked ourselves this very challenging question. You say, I love my wife. Really? Let's examine ourselves truthfully. Okay. I marry you because I expect you to make me happy and give me security or significance. I love him because he does this and he makes me feel like this and he this and she that. It's all about what that person brings to the relationship. Dangerous place, ladies and gentlemen. I give you the power to make me happy or miserable. If you're not performing, dan sê ek misluk. I expect you to live up my idea or idol of a husband, wife or child. Das van ons het sommer 'n gebedslys gehad when we were praying for a spouse. He must do this, she must be like that. So I already have an idea in my mind how I want my spouse to be before I'm happy. Because I treat you well, you should give me what I expect. That's how most of us love. God wants us to love like this, one-sided, irrespective of the return. We say, whoa, hang on a second, Mozzie, that's a little bit heavy. Kan jy asseblief nie oor iets anders te begin preek nie? Well, that's unconditional love, isn't it? Isn't that how Jesus loved? Where in the Bible did Jesus say, I'm going to die for you unless? No. He came, running the risk, lay down his life, knowing that even if nobody says, just because he wanted to pay the price for our sins. You see, he would rather come down to earth and die than be in heaven without us. It's about us, Yella. That's why he laid down his life. And that's how our relationship should be. No expectation or manipulation. God keeps on giving. He keeps on forgiving. He loves sacrificially. And although we are useless in our sin, we're not fit for heaven because of the sin in our lives. You say, well, Mozzie, you know, I haven't murdered anybody in at least 7 years. I don't sleep around that much anymore. You know, I don't hate everybody. Guys, none of us qualify for heaven. Do you know that? None of us qualify for heaven. We don't qualify for heaven. It's because of the grace of God that we granted the privilege of spending an eternity with God. We don't deserve any of that. And that's how God loves. That's how God loves. Then we started looking at the four primary roles of a father. Who'd like to venture and remember just one of them? The four primary roles of a father. Speak to me, church. Security. Identity. You see why I'm repeating it? God is love. He is. Oh, the Father's love. Okay. Yeah. The four primary roles. Primary role of a father. Four primary roles. Number one, establish authority. To establish the authority. That's the father's role. Number two, confer identity, helping us see and find who we are in Jesus. Number three, providing security, emotional and spiritual. Lots of guys think, my verantwoordelikheid is om die geld te verdien, to pay the bills, provide for the kids, roof over their heads, that's it. That's just one of the things. Emotional and spiritual security in the home. You see, no matter how much money you got, if the people don't feel spiritually and emotionally secure, they'll always be insecure inside. Ongeag wat die bankbalans sê julle. And the fourth thing is to affirm potential. Help us realize the potential that we have. So we see how God fulfills these roles, so to speak, by speaking these two things over Jesus. When Jesus was baptized and on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus came up out of the water, after being baptized, he says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And on the Mount of Transfiguration, where his face changed, he says this, a bright cloud overshadowed him, and a voice said, "This is my dearly beloved Son who brings me great joy. Listen to him." So God establishes authority when he says, "Hear him. Listen to him." He confers identity by saying, "He's my Son." He provides security by saying, "Dearly loved. I love my Son. You have God's love." And he affirms potential. He says, "He brings me great joy." He said that over Jesus. Jesus hadn't even started his public ministry. He had nog nie 'n preek gepreek nie, en het nie een enkele wonderwerk verrig nie. And he said, "He brings me great joy." Those are the four primary roles of a father. Folks, I'm going to say it again. He establishes authority. Nie, jy's die baas omdat ek so sê nie. God has chosen you to reveal godly authority to your children, to your wife, to your family. Establishes authority, confers identity. And I'm not talking about like the Lebanese. "Hey, do you know who I am? I'll drib you, eh?" No, it's not "do you know who I am." It's "who are you in Christ Jesus?" If you grew up in the South, you'll know where that comes from. Forgive me, but that's where I grew up. That's what the roles of the Father is. Confers identity. We looked at the fact that we have a primary identity and a secondary identity. Our primary identity should be who you are in Christ Jesus. You know, I said this, if I don't pastor the church, as ek nie preek nie, wie's ek dan? When I introduce people, how many of you did I ever go to you and say, "Hi, I'm Pastor Mozzie"? Huh, Kali? Ek so gemaak vanoggend. No, he said, "Friends call me Mozzie." That's who I am. Friends call me Mozzie. This is my werklike naam, is 'n noemnaam. I'm not a "hi, I'm Pastor Mozzie." And I'm not knocking the office that God has entrusted me with and give respect where respect is due. I get that, ladies and gentlemen. But we're not who we are determined by what we do. That's a bankrupt worldly idea. Your primary identity is who you are in Christ Jesus. Your secondary identity is embracing the fact that you have a past that you've been forgiven of, not trying to live apart from it. It's foolish to think that we can live apart from our past. My secondary identity is worry. This is how I was before I started living for Jesus. This is how I came to know Jesus, and this is how my life has been since I've started living for Jesus. Your secondary identity is realizing you have a past that's been dealt with by the blood of Jesus Christ. For a father to confer identity, a father needs to be saturated in the Word of God, filled with the Spirit, walking the walk, not just talking the talk. You can, if you can say, "Jy gaan laai hulle af by die kerk en dan move jy." Okay, maar dan waar's jy? Your children are not going to do what you tell them to do. Your children are going to do what they see you do. A father provides security as a third thing. The most effective way to provide security is to do it in an atmosphere of love. Create an atmosphere of love in the home. A father provides security, creating an environment of love, by first realizing the love that God has for the Father himself. If you don't, my brother, my sister, you seated here this morning, if you think God has forgotten me, He's turned His back on me, He's quiet with me, I'm not good enough for God, I don't qualify for this, how are you going to relay the love of God to your children? If you feel like that about God's love for you, gentlemen, we must realize that God loves you. A father must know that God is love. God showed love first. God sacrificed. God loves intimately, and perfect love casts out fear. What is the climate in your home? If we are to ask your wife or your children how you display God's authority in the home, what do you think they'd say? If we were to ask your kids, how does Dad show godly authority and establish spiritual and moral authority in the home? How does Dad do that? What do you think they'd say? Why do we come to church? Om getuchtig te word. Maybe sometimes, but to be encouraged, to say, hey, you know what? Maybe all the ducks aren't in a row in my life. I'm yet to be taught. I'm yet to learn. I'm yet to be helped. I'm yet to be encouraged. I'm yet for God to show me the way. Father provides security by doing that. We see that God is love. That perfect love casts out fear. And we see that a father affirms potential. We spoke last week about the different ways we can affirm each other. Spiritual affirmation, emotional affirmation, social affirmation, and then physical affirmation. Affirming the identity of your child. Remember, we in this age where there's so many different genders and people are confused as to what they are, we said that if you have a womb, what are you? And then he said, if you don't have a womb, spoke myself out of that one. You're a man. You're a man. Yeah, but I got these feelings. Well, where does that come from? Where does that come from? Folks, it starts with a suggestion and a hint from the devil way back when. And then the Bible clearly teaches where we give in to these evil desires. And when you do that, the devil convinces you of things that it's just never, ever meant to be that. And remember, we said this, we're not hating the individual. We're hating the sin and loving the individual. There's no difference between the gender issue sins in the eyes of God. No difference between that and die persoon in die gemeente wat gereeld hierso is, wat hulle geliefdes in die gemeente beskinder. Wat's die verskil dan? Isn't it interesting that some sins are so obvious and out there, and others happen in the recesses of our hearts? Remember, we challenged ourselves with this. How would people see me if on my forehead there was a nice crystal clear OLED or AMOLED display depicting my thoughts, my thought life, what goes on inside here? If that was on display in a screen on my forehead, would they really think, yes, check that oulike pastoor, hy kan daarom haar preek lewer, weet jy? How would they see me? When people persecute me, do me wrong, backbite me, let me down, disappoint me, what thoughts get displayed on that little screen? Psalm 19 and verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to God. Jylle, omrede, because I'm shy and withdrawn and have difficulty speaking in front of people, nee, dis so makkelijk vir my om soggens op 'n Sondag hierso te staan en te warra, 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 and be messed up inside here. That's why, I don't know about you, I need Jesus. I desperately need Jesus. Because I can be so high and mighty in one moment, in the next moment, man, I can be like the devil's brother personified. I desperately, desperately need Jesus. So we affirm potential by affirming the physical identity of our children. Celebrate the masculinity of the boys, the femininity of the girls, the spiritual affirmation, finding a scripture to speak positive life over each other. Proverbs 18 and verse 21 says there's death and life in the power of the tongue. Wanneer die kind droog maak, sê, yo, onnoosela, mugu, jy's niks werd nie, man. You're never going to amount to anything. How many of you had teachers at school speaking that over your life? You're never going to make a success of your life. Or you're going to believe that, or you're going to believe what the Word of God says about you because you're created in the image of God, my brother, my sister. Luister hiersonê. If God doesn't give up on you, who are we to give up on each other? I've said this, you know, I'm a people person. I love everybody and you're next. But when I get tired of people, then I know, Mozzie, you need a break. I know I need a rest. I need a rest when I get tired of people. And there's been times where I think, you know what? I've given you my best. I've taught you everything I know. And you still don't want to give your heart to Jesus. That's fine. Gaan dan hel toe, hoor. Jy wil hel toe gaan, go to hell then. Ek is moeg gepreek vir jou. Dan doe maar net jou eie ding. And I think, well, you self-righteous, stuck-up, little snotkop so-and-so. Who the hell do you think you are? Has God ever given up on you? God's never given up on me. How dare I give up on somebody else? It took 20 years for me to say, okay, Lord, I realize I want you to fix me. I had to be completely broken before I let God fix me. And then I want to give up on somebody because I've been preaching to you, eh? Because I've been preaching to them for like a couple of years and I want to give up. Ek wil hulle afskryf and say they're not worth it. You are worth it. You are worth it. It wasn't the nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was His love for you and for me that held Him to the cross. You are worth it. Affirm each other's potential and speak that potential over each other's lives. Those are the roles that a father needs to play, ladies and gentlemen. And then we spoke about a father doesn't see himself in the traditional, unscriptural, worldly view of what a man is supposed to be. We looked at the fact that in certain adverts they say, unless you drink this, you're not a man. Unless you buy that for your children, you're not a good mother. Dis 'n leen, julle. Hello? Dis 'n leen. Most of advertising appeals to lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Most of it. That's not what the Word says about us. What does the world say about manhood? What is the world, you know? And then the other thing, oh, says, yeah, what? No, let me not go there. Mozzie, just stick to the point he saw. Actually, my mind is going all over the place about the nonsense that they tell us in the media about what manhood is. Okay? Listen to this traditional view of manhood. Ek's amper klaar gepreek. We're going to start bringing this thing into the pits for a refuel and a tire change now. The worldly view is a man is what he does. Have you seen when men get together? Quickly, what do we ask each other? So, what line of work you in? Am I right, gentlemen? What line of work you in? Because so often our identity is wrapped up in what we do. Men said that word nie so nie. What about the inherent worth? Who you are because of who you are, because of who you are, because God loves you. What about your inherent worth? The men start speaking about, no, what do you do for a living? Oh, and then even you say, well, what about pastors? When it comes to Christian circles, get together, I'm Pastor so-and-so, I lead this fellowship. Well, then what they ask, so, how many members in your church? Regwaar? You know what the size of Jesus' church was? 12 families. That's it. Sê waar? Kry dit vanaar? Well, he called 12 people. 12 disciples. And one of them betrayed him. So how good a job did he do? When Judas betrayed Jesus, do you think Jesus sat there and said, where did I go wrong? How could I have improved my preaching? The Word of God was still the Word of God. You see, folks, some people receive it, some don't. Some allow it to change them, some don't. SW, SW, SW. Next. Some will, some won't. So what? Next, carry on preaching till all know Jesus is coming soon. The worldly view is a man is what he does. His value is earned and not inherent. So he becomes competitive in an unhealthy way to outperform others instead of uplifting others. Success is the goal at the expense of others. Even one's own marriage and children. It's dog, eat or be eaten. I must look after myself because nobody else is going to do it. The reward of worldly conventional manhood is power, and it's usually in the marketplace or the bank balance. This worldly approach causes destination sickness. What is destination sickness? And we'll close with this, and then we'll encourage each other and pray with each other. Is that okay, church? Destination sickness. The syndrome of a man who's arrived only to discover he's actually nowhere. He has achieved his goals and finds they are not what he anticipated. He suffers the disillusionment of promises that petered out, the payout with the kickback. He has all the things that money can buy and finds decreasing satisfaction in all he has. He's the man who has become a whale of a success downtown and a pathetic failure at home. He's a big shot with the boys in the office and a phony with the boys at home. He's a status symbol in society, but a fake with the family. This sickness is peculiar to a culture that is affluent, that means the bucks flows, but is also godless. Wow. What a mouthful. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a God who loves us more than I've ever been able to describe. There's a God who wants to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. There's a God who wants our hearts turned away from the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things. He wants to turn our hearts to Him. He's that Father this morning. It's that Father who by His Holy Spirit this morning has been knocking on the door of your heart and say, will you let me? Will you let me in? Will you let me love you? Will you let me care for you? Will you give me a chance as I've laid down my life for you? Would you lay down your life and let me live my life through you? That's the question we ask ourselves this morning. And if you're a father here that hasn't played an active role in the life of your children, my brother, here's your chance to say, God, forgive me. Teach me. Show me how I can be a better father. Maybe you're at a place where daar's miskien niks verkeerd wat jy kan raak sien and say, God, show me. If there's an area of weakness or a blind spot, show me how I can be a better dad. Show me how I can establish authority, how I can confer identity, how I can provide security, and how I can affirm potential. Show me, and maybe you're a grandfather. Maybe you can be a grandfather to help the fathers that are in your life. And maybe your family is so blessed, you have a good, rock, solid family that's built on the foundation of God's Word. I guarantee you, you know at least one child whose lives or life has crossed yours where you can play a role of a godly father in that child's life. Where you can make a difference in somebody else's life. Need we remind ourselves of those percentages and those statistics of how crucial and critical this is, ladies and gentlemen? My prayer is that God has really turned your heart through these sermon series to His heart. Turned your heart as a father to the hearts of your children and your children's heart, the children's hearts in this church, to their fathers. And ultimately, all of our hearts to God's heart. Why did we come here this morning? To listen to Mozzie speak. Please know, but to hear the heart of God. And He says this to you. I love you. You're valuable and precious to me. You're uniquely, fearfully, and wonderfully made. I love you so much. I died for you. And if I have to do it all over again for one person in this building this morning, He'll do it again. How many of you would like to respond to that kind of love this morning? Let's pray together. As the deep end gets ready to lead us in a time of worship one more time, I want to give you an opportunity. Maybe you don't know God as this loving God. And I'm not talking about that you believe in Jesus, you know of Jesus. I'm asking, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you have a relationship with God where you are secure in your relationship with God? If you're to die right now, are you 100% sure, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that you'd get to heaven to live forever with God? Are you sure? 100% sure? If there's anybody here this morning where you're not secure in your relationship with God, and you want to be sure. If there's anybody here, you want to be sure in your relationship with God, but you're not sure. Anybody like that, please raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Anybody like that? Anybody? Good. We're all assured of our salvation. That's excellent. Maybe as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed as we continue to pray, maybe you know that as a father, there's been many times where you haven't been there for your children. Maybe you're learning about these things for the first time. You skim mozzie, whoa. Dis 'n mondvol daai hoor. Ek doen nie een van daai goed nie. And you want God to help you with that. We want to pray with you this morning. And maybe you're on the receiving end of not having a father in your life, and there's hurt and pain that has been in your life because of that. And no counseling has helped. You need a touch from God. You need wisdom from God to how to fix that in your life. We want to pray with you this morning. So right there where we're seated, each one of us fall into some category, somehow, somewhere. And it's to you we come this morning, God, the living God, our Heavenly Father, Abba Father. And we say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, thank you that you see our hearts. Here, dankie dat ons onself kan wees voor u vanoggend. Ons hoef nie aan te sit nie. U ken ons in elk geval deur en deur in al ons wee. Lord, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you died for me. You gave your life for me. But Lord, I want to live beyond the cross. I want to live past the cross. I want to receive the best that heaven has to offer. From this day, Lord, I rededicate my commitment to you to being a good father, a loving husband, a father that fulfills the godly role and responsibility in the life of his wife and the lives of his children. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for being gracious to me and giving me hope. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, Amen.